I do appreciate when we first read this passage, it comes across as a very, very complicated passage. And I'm not going to be able to deal with all of it in one sermon. I'm going to take part of it this morning and then come back to it again next week. This morning, I'm just going to take two phrases that are found here. I'm going to be looking at verse 7, where it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses." And then I'm going to be looking at the first part of verse 11, where it says, "In him we have obtained an inheritance." Those two phrases, "in him" and "in him," verse 7, verse 11, I'm going to be picking on those two this morning. This passage is about the blessings that God has given to us as his people. If you're a Christian here this morning, you've been born again by the Spirit of God, and the blood of Jesus has cleansed you, and you know the salvation that is found in Christ, you know that your place in heaven is guaranteed. If you're a Christian here this morning, there is one thing that is true of you: you are blessed of God. The blessings of God have been poured out upon you in Jesus Christ. Last week, when we began studying from Ephesians 3, we saw what Paul says in chapter 1 and verse 3. What Paul says there is, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing." Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. So if you're a Christian here this morning, you have been blessed of God. And this passage actually gives us a list of all the blessings. It's a little bit like Psalm 103. If you read Psalm 103, you're reading a list of blessings that God has poured out upon his people. And this passage is rather similar to that. There's a list here. These are the good things. These are the blessings that God has given to you in Christ. Now this morning, as we look at those two verses, verse 7 and verse 11, I want to bring three things to you. It's quite simple. I'm not going to be long, but there are three things that I want to bring to you about the blessings of God in Christ. And the first is this: Christ has saved us from the power of sin. Christ has saved us from the power of sin. Verse 7, "In him we have redemption through his blood." And we heard in our family talk earlier this morning about this business about a person being held as a hostage and a ransom demand being made. Well, in New Testament times, a more familiar scenario was that of slavery. But it's a very similar thing. A person needed some money because they had a medical problem in their household. The child was ill and they needed money to get that child some medical help. And the father was a poor man, perhaps a laborer, perhaps a fisherman. And he would go to a wealthy man in his town and he would say, "Look, if you give me the money that is needed for this, I will work for you as a slave for so many years." Apparently these sort of transactions were quite common. There is documentary evidence for this. And so the wealthy man would pay the medical bill, and for 20 years, 25 years, the man would basically be his slave. But there was always a redemption price that was agreed. If in the meantime, the family can raise some money, they pay the rich man a certain amount, and that is ransom that buys him back out of his slavery. Slaves could be purchased out of their slavery. And Paul, the writer of this passage, uses this imagery because it was well known in these days. And Paul says, just as there are people today who are slaves to their masters, so he says, we all at one time were slaves of sin. This is biblical teaching. He develops this theme in the letter to the Romans and chapter 6 in particular. And he talks about how at one time we were in the power of sin, and sin held us in its power, and sin would not let us go, and we had to obey sin because we had no choice. We were slaves of sin. This is biblical teaching. And may I say this, if you are not a Christian here this morning, you may not like what I'm about to say to you, but this is biblical teaching. You are a slave of sin. Why is it that the people in the world pursue sin and look for pleasure in sin? It's because they become enslaved by it. It's because they become dazzled by it. And that's the only thing they know. Pursue sin and you will get pleasure. And they know no other way of having joy in this world. But if you're a Christian here this morning, Christ has redeemed you. Christ has brought you out of this slavery to sin. Christ has released you from the power of sin. And Christ has brought you into His own kingdom. We have been released from the power of sin. And this is why, going back to Romans chapter 6, Paul says to the Christians in Rome, he says, sin shall no longer have mastery over you. You do not sell yourself back into slavery. It's rather like the man who's been brought out of slavery because his family raised the money. And then he voluntarily goes back into slavery. You don't do that, he says. You don't live a sinful life. You don't live a life of disobedience and unrighteousness. You have been released from this. You live a life of righteousness, a life of obedience, a life pleasing to God, because God has brought you out of this slavery. So this is the first great blessing that is described here. Christ has saved us from the power of sin. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Have you ever come to Jesus and prayed to Him and asked Him to save you from your sin? Have you ever received Him as your Savior? Have you ever said to Him, I'm a sinner and I need salvation, and salvation is found in You alone. Will You save me from my sin? Do you know Him? If you know Him, then you have been saved from the power of sin. And if you don't, then you need to come to Him today. And you need to pray to Him, and you need to say to Him, will You save me from my sin? So Christ has saved us from the power of sin. Secondly, in this passage, Christ has saved us from the penalty of sin. Christ has saved us from the penalty of sin. Again in verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. The forgiveness of our trespasses. The two things are linked, but you notice Paul mentions those two things. He says we've been redeemed. In Him we have redemption. And then he goes on to develop it a bit further and he says we have forgiveness. Because sin does more than enslave. Sin incurs a penalty. You know how it is. If you were to go out of this place this morning and you were to drive down the road here by the seaside, you were to drive down that road at 60, 70 miles an hour, I beg of you, do not do this. But if you were to do such a thing and the policeman was there in his car, well, he would immediately stop you and say, what on earth do you think you're doing? This is a town. There's a speed limit here. And this is just sheer carelessness. There are families on the seafront. Children are crossing the road. And you're driving down this road at 60 miles an hour. Do you realize what you're doing? And immediately he would issue you a ticket. And he would say there's a penalty to be paid. There's a financial fine to be paid. And more than that, you might get your license docked. And you might even lose your license for a while for such dangerous driving. A penalty is incurred every time we break the law. Now, it is the same with God's law. God is just and God is holy. And God has given us His law. And when we break the law of God, there is a penalty. This is what we talk about when we say guilt is there. Our consciences trouble us. Why do our consciences trouble us? Why is it that people will wake up in the middle of the night and all kinds of thoughts come about the kind of lives they've lived and the wrong they've done, and these things trouble them? Why? Because we are guilty before God and our conscience knows it. We may for a time be able to suppress our conscience, but we can't keep it quiet eternally. The conscience speaks. And the conscience tells us we've broken God's law. And the conscience tells us we owe God payment for the breach of His law. and none of us has the ability to clear our guilt. I know people have this idea that if you live a good life, it somehow cancels your bad deeds. That is not true. I know there is this idea that if you give thousands to the Ukrainian refugees and you do your very, very best to be kind to your neighbors and live a decent moral life, yes, you've done wrong, but because of your contribution to the refugees, God will overlook your bad deeds. I know there is this common idea. It is not true. We by our good works cannot cancel out our bad deeds. Only the blood of Jesus. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse the conscience. Only the blood of Jesus can bring us forgiveness for our sins. Only the blood of Jesus can remove God's anger. Only the blood of Jesus can pay the penalty that we owe to God for our sins. It is Jesus' death alone that can bring us salvation and forgiveness. Nothing else. Please do not be deceived on this point. Please do not think that because you're religious, you come to church, you live a decent life, a moral life, God will look at your good works and will therefore forget your sins and will allow you into heaven. That will not happen. It is only Christ who can save us from the penalty of sin. If you want ease, if you want rest for your conscience, you want your conscience cleansed truly, you want your guilt to be removed. You want your sins to be paid for so that nothing will hinder you from entering heaven. You need Jesus, His blood, His death on the cross of Calvary. That is where forgiveness is found. So Christ has saved us from the power of sin. Christ has saved us from the penalty of sin. And then thirdly and finally, in verse 11, Christ will one day save us from the presence of sin. Christ will one day save us from the presence of sin. Paul says in verse 11, he's still speaking about Jesus. In Him, you see how he has spoken about Christ. In Him, he says, in Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. And it's that first part of verse 11. In Him we have obtained an inheritance. The Lord Jesus releases us, redeems us from slavery to sin. He brings us out of the kingdom of God, out of the kingdom of sin and the devil. And He brings us into His own kingdom. And He cleanses us so that all our sins are removed in His blood. He removes all our guilt through His blood. And then He begins a work in us. He sends His Holy Spirit to live in us. And the Holy Spirit of God comes to live in us. And the Holy Spirit of God begins to do a work in us of transformation. Because yes, all our sins have been forgiven, but we still have sin dwelling within us. And yes, we are born again by the Spirit of God, but we still have sin dwelling within us. We still have sinful habits, sinful thoughts, sinful speech, sinful deeds. We still have sin. No Christian could ever say, I never sin. If a person says that, the Bible says that person is a liar. So we still have sin. And God, by His Spirit, works in us to transform us and to change us into the image of Christ. Now, this is something that we do with Him. We don't sit back and say, well, of course, the Holy Spirit will sanctify me. I'll just watch Him do the work. We are told to put to death the deeds of the flesh. We are told to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But it is God who does that work, who gives us the will and the desire to do it. If you're a Christian here this morning, you need to seek the daily infilling of the Holy Spirit. You need to ask Him to come to you daily and to aid you in your daily walk so that you love Christ, you walk with Christ, you walk closely with Him, and you don't fall into sin. You need that daily energizing power of the Holy Spirit. You need that daily infilling of the Holy Spirit. You need that daily revelation of Christ's glory as it is given to us by the Holy Spirit, so that we see Christ and we love Him and we walk in love with Him. And once we are saved, once we have received Jesus as our Savior, once we've asked Him to save us from our sins, a place in heaven is guaranteed. You know how sometimes you go to a wedding and you're a very, very close member of the family, and there's a seat with your name on it. And everybody who comes to that wedding, they walk past that seat. That is your seat. You may not be there yet, but that is your seat. And nobody would take away the label and sit there and say, well, I'm not having that person sitting here. I want to sit here. People wouldn't do that. That's your seat. Do you know the day that you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the day that you received Him and asked Him to save you from your sins, a place in heaven had your name written on it. And that is yours. And it may be many, many, many decades before you actually take up that place. Perhaps you were converted when you were still young. Perhaps in your teens you were converted. We have a member of this church who was converted at the age of 18. And at the age of 102, she's still here on earth. But her place in heaven is guaranteed. There's a name there, and it's her name. And whenever God is pleased to call her to Himself, she will be there because her name is, a place is guaranteed. This is the beauty of salvation in Christ. Our place in heaven is guaranteed. We will no longer be in this world of sin. We will no longer be in a world where sin is present everywhere. We will no longer be in a place where sin is present in our hearts. Christ will one day save us from the presence of sin and take us into heaven with Himself. In Him we have obtained an inheritance. So these are the blessings that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. God has saved us from the power of sin. We are no longer slaves of sin. God has saved us from the penalty of sin. We no longer owe Him a debt. The blood of Jesus has paid that. And we are being saved from the presence of sin. And will one day know full salvation from the presence of sin. Are you a Christian here this morning? Do you love the Lord Jesus? Is the Lord Jesus your personal Savior? You know salvation and forgiveness of sin through Him. Well, praise God. Praise God for your salvation. Partake of the bread and the cup with joy in your heart. You have been saved. But perhaps you've never actually asked Jesus to save you. Perhaps you've never actually gone to Him and asked Him to be your own personal Savior. Well, do you know why not today? Why not today? Just bow your head and say to Him, Lord Jesus, will you save me? You don't need a long, complicated prayer. He looks at the heart. You don't need large numbers of theological words. If your heart is crying out for salvation, for the forgiveness of sin, He will see your heart. Why not ask Him today to be your Savior? And then you will know the joy of salvation and that eternal hope of heaven.